But this year, in the first 3 months, already the U.S. export to Taiwan has increased by about 100%. So this year, if the trend continues, then you will wind up with about $15 billion of export to our country. Now, what are these products? A certain amount of that product is farm products. We have signed 3 long-term agriculture commodities agreement with the United States, each one lasted for 5 years, and under which we commit ourselves to purchase about 1.4 to 1.6 billion US dollars worth of American agricultural products every year, mainly in the area of grain. But beyond agricultural products, we also import a great deal of American finished goods, mainly in the area of machinery and pharmaceutical products and the transportation product, and that's American vehicle. I was told that the import of American automobiles increased tremendously over the last several months because of the depreciation of US dollars. And what are the areas that we may continue buying from the United States? I think one of which is the major construction project, such as we are now building our mass transit in Taipei and in Kaohsiung, and that's one area American business people would find great opportunity. And we also trying to do a lot of thermal power plants and the generators and what we call the desulfurization equipment would be very, that again is an environmental protective device. So I think the United States could take advantage of what we are doing in trying to develop our infrastructure. I think there was a lady in red there who raised her hand and I couldn't quite get her. Now if she didn't, now there's a hand over there. Yes, please.
I would like to, all the mainland China were influenced by the North and the United States.
How was mainland China trying to influence U.S. relations with ours? And what is the future of the China picture? The mainland China, of course, tried very hard to influence U.S. in many ways. And of course, all of you aware of the fact that there have been a lot of high-level exchange of visits over the last several years. And in all those visits, one thing that is always in the agenda is the U.S. relation with us, particularly in the area of purchase of defensive arms by our country. But the United States has been taken a position which is that your argument with each other is your problem that only you should be able to solve, and we do not want to be drawn into your quarrels. The only thing we want to see is that these quarrels would only be resolved by peaceful means. And that has been the U.S. position for the last several years, and I believe it will continue to be the position of future administration in this country. Now, what would be the prospect of the future of China? It is very risky for people in my profession to try to be a fortune teller. And I have never had such gift as fortune telling. I don't have those gifts. But I can speak for my own government and my own people. Our feeling is that we have been hanging out in Taiwan and in part of Fujian province for the last 4 decades. And what we have been doing is really not personal ambition, not political ambition. What we have been doing is the result of our firm conviction that China should be free and the Chinese people should be allowed to decide what they want. They want private ownership. They want to have free enterprise system. They want more democratic institution of government. They want to have more freedom to express themselves. All those things we value, and we believe that all Chinese people value. And it is our sincere conviction that one day this should be returned to all the Chinese people. Whether I should play a role in that future free democratic China or not is secondary, it's not important. In other words, we don't do it because we want to have political power for our personal ambition. No, no such thing. But we believe that it is the well-being of our compatriots that is deep in our thought. So anything that is going toward that direction is conducive to reunification. We hope one day, as history indicates in China, that a country after a long division would be reunified. A nation which has long been reunified would be split. That is what the romance of the Three Kingdoms told us. And one day down the line, I believe our country would once again be reunified in the free democratic system. Yes?
You mentioned that the relationship with the United States has gotten better by decoupling the issue of the relationship between the United States and mainland China from the issue of the relationship between the Republic of China and the United States. Do you think this is desirable or possible in other areas of the world?
In what? Is it possible in other areas of the world? I believe that we cannot treat all countries of the world in the same category or according to the same standard. It would be wrong to say that we have just one set of policy and that's it, take it or leave it. I believe each country has its own tradition. Each country has its own history. And in this nation, I happen to know a little bit about this great nation. One thing that is very important, I've learned this as a student, which is fair play. And fair play is part and parcel of the United States. And that is why I believe we can try to ask the United States to separate, to split her relationship from one with the other, and being able for her to have good relationship from her strategic point of view, to be friendly with both, and to improve relationship with both. It would be wrong for me to be critical of whether it is right or wrong for the United States to make friends with any country. I don't think I am supposed to do those things. United States decision maker are wise people, intelligent people. They know what is good for them. And I better shut up on those subjects. But I know what is good for us and for the United States as far as our bilateral relationship is concerned. So I have always said things on the positive side between my own country and the United States with regard to United States is another country, I guess, like South Africa or that, I am not supposed to open my big mouth. With regard to what we do with South Africa, I wish I know more, but unfortunately I've been serving the Foreign Service for 28 years. Africa has not been my cup of tea. I have been in charge of all the geographical regions of the whole world, and I always had the United States under my jurisdiction. And most of the last 20 years, I have had Europe under my jurisdiction for 15 years, but unfortunately Africa has never been my cup of tea, so I really am afraid I'm not that well qualified to give you an accurate description of our relationship with South Africa. Yes, please.
Over the last few decades, a lot of people from Taiwan, a lot of students from Taiwan studied in U.S. and kind of few of them stay and become U.S. citizens. Now, how do you evaluate their role in the friendship of Chinese and U.S. and the international relations?
Yes. I believe that in the earlier years, when I say earlier years, it was in the 50s and 60s, there were about 1,500 to 2,000 students coming from Taiwan to the United States, and the majority of them stayed behind. And the last several years, about 5,500 students came to the United States per year, and about 2,000 returned, so you still have good 3,500 students stayed behind. The important thing for us to note is that these are really very outstanding people, and the Chinese, they became, most of them became American citizens. The Chinese American has grown in size and in stature. When I was a graduate student here in this country, total number of Chinese American in this country was about 250,000. Today is way above 1.2 million. We were waiting until 1990 when the census is taken to know the exact figure, but by traveling around the country, that is my own estimate. And unlike in the earlier immigrants, these new immigrants are all doing very well, and they are very outstanding citizens of this country, and they do great honor and justice to their country of origin. I feel very proud as I stand here in recognizing the contribution and accomplishment of the Chinese Americans. And they, of course, can make a lot of contribution to both countries. Indeed, they have been making a lot of contributions to the relationship of the two countries. And above all, these Chinese Americans are scholars, scientists, engineers, professionals, and they have accomplished very respectable standing both here and in the ROC. And many of them are spending their sabbatical year in Taiwan to teach students, to do research work, to help us develop some of research projects which in the long run would benefit our country. I believe they serve as wonderful link between the two countries. Yes, please.
The follow-up to this question is that recently it's been a lot of feeling among the schools in the States that we don't want Chinese students there because they're taking up these graduate student positions that could be filled by the American students, so to speak. And yes, it has been moved, especially mainly Berkeley, to limit the number of foreign students allowed into their school system. How would you propose to get rid of this negative opinion?
Yeah. I'm very much concerned about that development. It never happened when I was graduate student here. I remember when I was graduate student here, we went to some of the state universities, and in the engineering departments, you walk into their research laboratory. Out of five teaching assistants or research assistants, you will find four coming from the ROC. And they were all doing very well, and the university were extremely generous to them in providing them not only a place to research, to study, but also sufficient remuneration to keep their both ends meet. And those were good old days. I'm afraid what we are confronting with today is a situation which cannot be just visualized from one aspect. There are two sides of the coin. From the university point of view, now allow me to be a spokesman for the university for a while. From the university point of view, their major purpose is A, to generate enough endowment to assure that the university would provide the best education to its students. Now, how to generate sufficient endowment? Of course, you have to go to your generous alumni and also the state. And I don't know what is the federal government doing these days with grant to universities. I remember there was a time when I was studying here, the federal government did a lot of things in that area. Anyway, if you look at the number, the percentage of students leading universities in this country take in every year. Now you mentioned about Berkeley. I can tell you about MIT because I visited MIT several years ago, and the dean of admission, very polite scholar, very outstanding gentleman, told me in a very regretful manner, saying, "Dr. Chen, I'm sorry that we are only taking at this moment 15% of Chinese American students or students of Chinese origin for any of our incoming class." He said, "You know, if we want to take, we can take 40%. There are that many qualified students." And he really put me on the spot because I cannot say, "Well, you have been doing a wonderful job." I couldn't say, "That's lousy, I don't like that." I couldn't say either thing, you know, it really put me on the spot. But now suppose I try to visualize myself as the dean of admission, or as the provost, or as the president of the university, or the vice president in charge of development or financing. I would look out of the endowment we raised last year, how many came from the parents of the students with Chinese origin. I was told it's very small, very small. Now that's a sad thing. That's an unhealthy thing, because so many percentage of the students is of Chinese origin, and the contribution does not match with that. That is the problem. I know I can talk about that in this environment, because we are all talking, you know, as intellectuals. If I go out and speak on the street, maybe people would mob at me. But as an intellectual, we must look at two sides of the coin. We receive good education. That's a blessing. But as we receive good education, we also have some obligations. And I hope my fellow brothers and sisters in this country would look this admission issue from that point of view. I don't know whether you agree with me or not. I don't expect everyone to agree with me. But if you want to have my honest view, that is my honest view. Any questions? Yes, I guess we still have a little time.
Okay, we will have an opportunity though for you to speak,
please,
at the reception afterwards.
Okay, yes, please.
Sir, how do you foresee the relationship both economically and politically between the United States and the Republic of China in the coming future?
Thank you. The economic ties, in my opinion, would continue to foster, and I believe it is mutually beneficial. It is my firm belief when anything benefits both sides, it will continue. When anything that benefits one side and not benefit the other side, it will not continue. But in our economic ties, I believe it's mutually beneficial. And I do look forward to continuation of what we have been having for the next few years. In the political arena, we cannot be overly ambitious. I don't think that overnight we could have any major breakthrough in our political. That is unrealistic to dream about. But on the other hand, I believe there are a lot of areas that we could and we should indeed cooperate one with the other. And the United States is in need of support, cooperation in the international arena in many areas. I believe with the economic capability we are now gradually building up, we can be of some help. For instance, in the Caribbean, in some countries, if the United States goes in there directly, may not be that much warmly received by the local people, and we can go in there. And the fact that our people is willing to spend full time in the fields with their farmers, and this would help them. So I believe things like that in the Caribbean, in Central America, where there is a vital interest of the United States deeply involved, where she finds that maybe she is not the best actor to play a major role, leading role there. Maybe we can pinch hit. So oftentimes in this country, I try to tell the story, a huge elephant. Now, I must not use elephant. Elephant's political connotation. But please forget about it. I'm really Chinese. I'm not American. Because the metaphor I was thinking about is purely Chinese metaphor. A big elephant become very itchy. And he couldn't, you know, he couldn't raise his leg and crawl there. So there's a little mouse. Can buy. You know, mouse is not necessarily bad. I know a lot of ladies hate mouse, but mouse is not necessarily bad. After all, in the Chinese zodiac cycle, mouse is number one. The little mouse can jump onto the elephant and scratch the itch for the elephant. Now, this is a Chinese metaphor. And that analogy may have some significance or implication in the question which you have just asked. Yes, please.
Would you like to comment about the recent issue that a military colonel who is
Yes.
And it was generally believed that the CIA of the United States
That is what was reported on March the 22nd in the New York Times, just in case anybody do not quite understand the question, and was again reported in March 23rd at the Washington Post. There was a full colonel by the name of Chang, who was deputy director of the Institute of Nuclear Energy Research in our country, who all of a sudden disappeared. And all the newspapers implied or insinuated that he has been sort of Shanghai from Taipei to United States via some mysterious organization. Now, I, for one, know this country for many years. And I remember this is what one of the first distinguished graduate from this university who returned to China and became the most distinguished, outstanding philosopher, Dr. Hu Xu, who once said, and I guess he also learned from this country. Let me try to translate his Chinese into English. How many percentage of evidence you have, you can make your statement in how many percentage? Did that make sense? what he was trying to say is that you should only make any statement with the full support of your evidence. Now, in this particular case, I, as a representative am not in a position to make any insinuation or accusation simply because there has been report. My requirement, first and foremost, is evidence. We do not have any evidence about how he left the country. So we couldn't say that the fact he left the country should ipso facto be linked with a certain agency in the United States. He may be in this country, but it does not necessarily follow that his presence in this country is the work of certain agency. I simply cannot make that linkage without any substance to support the case. So this is a country where you have to speak with sufficient evidence. Yes, please.
Allow me to ask a question, not concerned with Sino-American. What's the newest policy of mainland students? I mean, especially for the visas and for the tourists too, because I mean, some of my friends are very concerned about the
country. Your question is, if I get it correctly, and I repeat, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that does our government have a policy with regard to issuing visa to students from mainland to visit Taiwan? Is that correct?
Right, and if no such kind of policy is being formulated, I mean, whether there would there going to be a kind of policy?
This is an issue which we have confronted with, because we do have many applications, not many, a few applications before several of our offices around the country. And of course, we submitted to Taipei right away for instructions. And I have to be very formal in that, because this is a policy matter. I have to be formal. Taipei, I believe, has been studying on this issue, and I believe some person has made some statement saying that the whole thing is going to be considered in a very favorable manner. However, I must say, to the best of my knowledge, to date, I have left Washington DC about 7:30 this morning. So I'm not all around with what's happening today. But until yesterday, we still have not received a final word from Taipei yet. And I know that they are studying this matter with great care and with serious consideration on both sides, and how to get students over there and return them without affecting their well-being, or if we take whether there will be any side effect. All of this are being considered very carefully, and the case is being taken very seriously. That's all I can say.
There will be an opportunity for you to talk with Representative Chen at the reception for the next few minutes. But thank you very much for your comments.